ABC Radio Australia.
Civicus, a global civil society alliance, is calling governments in 8 countries to respect civic freedoms and strengthen institutions to protect these rights. In a damning report, it expressed concern over the restrictions on freedom of expression and access to information in Fiji, Kiribati, Nauru, Papua New Guinea, Samoa, Solomon Islands, Tonga and Vanuatu. But just recently in Samoa, the government banned the country's only independent newspaper from many of its press conferences. Whenau Whanua spoke to Joseph Benedict, a researcher with Civicus Asia Pacific.
We have a range of concerns that we have continued to see in the last couple of years, particularly around freedom of expression, press freedom, access to information, but also other challenges faced by civil society, including criminal defamation laws that are used against them, as well as the lack of institutions, so the lack of national human rights institutions, as well as the failure to ratify international treaties. So we are highlighting that there are positive. There's overall a positive development, but there are also challenges that we want to see Pacific Island states address here.
I want to focus on Samoa in particular, just because I don't know if you've heard, over the last week, their only independent newspaper was banned from attending any prime minister press conferences. How concerning is this? Do you think this represents growing autocracy in the region and in Samoa?
I think this reflects our larger concern around the restrictions faced by journalists and the restrictions on press freedom in the region. I mean, we have seen incidents of harassment, intimidation of journalists, some being dismissed after reporting on particular issues, but also being denied visas to travel to particular countries. So obviously what's happened with the Samoa Observer is quite concerning, and we are calling on the government to retract, you know, this particular instruction to restrict them. And this is not the first incident. We also saw previously where one journalist was also charged with criminal defamation for their reporting. So it's, I think, a worrying pattern where journalists are not protected because it's so essential for the Pacific to have an open space for journalists and the media to report on issues.
The Samoan government implemented this ban, saying that they weren't going to tolerate defamation and that the press was overstepping. But could you expand further on why it's so important for governments in the region to respect their independent media and allow them to have full access to these press conferences?
The media is very important. It's the oxygen of democracy in many countries. The media allows people to be informed of issues that they are facing, laws and policies being proposed by the government. It also allows the government to hear from citizens around the country on what's happening. So by restricting such a key news outlet like the Samoa Observer, it basically restricts access to information to many of its citizens with regards to information about what's happening with the government and the broader society. Definitely, this is quite a very dangerous move by the government. And I think ultimately what we want to see is that media have access to all parts of government, parliament, and other spaces within society so that they're able to report on issues without fear of being banned, restricted, or reprisals. And again, this is a pattern we are seeing not just in Samoa, but in a number of other countries in the Pacific.
And in your statement, you mentioned the need to establish human rights institutions. Could you expand on that?
So national human rights institutions are very critical. They play a role in advising government around the laws and policies that they put forward, but they also play a check and balance role in holding governments to account whenever they commit violations of human rights. Unfortunately, in a number of countries in the Pacific, including Kiribati, Nauru, Solomon Islands, and Vanuatu, there is no national human rights institution. And this is despite the UN and other states calling for this for a number of years. So I think it's very important that these governments take this this call very seriously. Many a time we hear lip service from the government saying, oh yes, we will set this up. But I think it's important that citizens have a space where they can file complaints about human rights violations, and that action is seriously taken. So the establishment of national human rights institutions is very important across the Pacific.
Another interesting thing you pointed out was that Fiji, PNG, and Samoa have used cybercrime laws to criminalize online expression. This is not unique to the Pacific. We've seen it in parts of the world where concerns over cybercrime has led to stricter laws on freedom of expression. Could you describe this?
Sure, yeah. So we are seeing, as you said, globally, a move towards using criminal defamation laws or cyber crime laws in order to go after people who speak up, who criticize government, who question. For a long time, we know these laws were not in the Pacific, but now and now we are seeing more and more countries passing such laws. And we've also seen incidents of governments using these laws against journalists and human rights defenders. Let me give you one example. In December of last year, a human rights defender from Papua New Guinea, Eddie Tanago, was arrested under the Cybercrime Act just for posting a message online on his Facebook about what was happening in the Forest Authority in Papua New Guinea. He was arrested and held in his cell before being released later. So these are laws that are being used to harass activists and journalists. And what it does is it creates a chilling effect where people are afraid to speak up online. So we are calling for the repeal of these cybercrime laws in order to ensure there is space for freedom of expression.